John, anything that you would like to discuss before I get started?
No, Izzy's done great. She's a good member of the team. She's taken some stuff off, or she's doing stuff we weren't doing before. Things are going smooth here. We had a decent month last month, bringing in new money. We had a very big production month. Andrew and Will's biggest production month ever last month. So revenues are good. We're up to about, I'd say, $68 million net new this year.
Wow.
We're trying to do 100. We should be there. We have a bunch of good ones coming in. One of the refocuses of private wealth is we're trying to get $25 million accounts over the next 18 months. And we got pretty good chance on two of them, we think. We just got to close them and find two more ones. So it's going pretty good.
You mentioned you're playing golf with two new clients. Where'd they come from?
They came from Dripping and then finally having them just ask him, say, hey, we've been knowing each other for 30 years. I never want you not thinking that I have an interest in doing your business. And then the guy said, oh, good, you finally asked. These guys are real estate guys. They're making a fortune right now. And we're going after a lot of the real estate developers that are selling buildings and trying to get them to more diversify into liquid assets. And that's gone pretty well so far. We've probably gotten five new ones over the last, let's say, year. Average account size, you know, $7-8 million bucks.
Are these folks who could retire right now if they wanted to?
Yeah, they're all worth in excess of $20 million bucks, and they're all in below 55.
Would it be fair to say that their money getting cut in half would change their life more than if it doubled?
That's basically my story.
Yeah. Everybody loves real estate at the top. Are these guys getting out because they think it's time, they're seeing the top, or they just want to diversify more?
So the Charlotte market has gone from $300 a foot in commercial, has totally skipped $500 a foot, and is at $600 plus a foot in less than a year. So these guys are all three of the five guys are more opportunistic guys. So they make their money. They buy when everything's going to hell, and now they're selling everything. One guy doubled. The guys were playing golf today, bought a skyscraper in downtown Charlotte, I guess, two years ago, and they sold it. They doubled their money in 2 years.
Wow.
Yeah, it's. But these guys are smart. The problem is they've made so much money in fixed income that we got to convince them, you know, 4 to 6% is a decent rate of return, and you might own 30% equities, but the rest is, you know, short term fixed income, and they're getting it.
How are they making that kind of money in fixed income in this environment?
I'm just saying that's what it would average over a 5-year period. You know, we're probably up 2% on a muni portfolio, 1 to 2%. We do a little bit of structured notes, but typically, our equity exposure right now with these guys is like 30%, which is probably up 7 or 8. Fixed income's up a little bit. These guys are up probably 2 to 4% the last year, which they're fine with.
Is it fair to say these guys could lead you to other people?
Yeah, and that's what we're doing.
Yeah. All right, terrific. All right, John, last time we met, you said you have a 10-year window of peak growth. Do you remember that statement?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know about the 10 years, but I totally buy into you're in a great position to grow. To do that, it's important that the structure of your practice be in place. And what I'd like to do today is to get around to begin to get that structure in place. I sent you a rough email last night. I did the flow sheet. Did you all get that?
Yes.
Okay. Does everybody have it?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. All right. I'm going to get to that in a second. Ashley, we talked about having the template for your prospecting, the Excel sheet everybody could see. The goal was to get that in place by the first of this month. So can you give me an update on that?
Yes. So our new teammate, Izzy, has taken over that as well, actually, and she has been working on it. So I'll let her talk more on the status, but I know she's been with Andrew and John on the prospects and getting that Excel sheet complete.
Okay.
Hi, Rob.
How are you?
We have a spreadsheet. Good. How are you? Nice to meet you over the phone.
Living the dream.
We do have a spreadsheet in place, and we've been adding all the prospects that are coming up. And then we've linked the spreadsheet with individual Word profiles for prospects that we're currently in contact with. So we have more information about it, kind of like a contact log and a little bit of their background as well.
All right. So, John, are you using this now?
Yeah. So, and also they have put these prospects on a Tickler file, just like Supernova. So I get every day I have to call or contact one or two prospects a day. So it's keeping me accountable too.
So can you look at that and know where Andrew is today?
Andrew's with Stephen Phillips in delivering an insurance policy.
Okay. So, okay, I didn't ask the question the right way. Are all the things we talked about measuring in our last meeting, are they being addressed by the spreadsheet?
Yes.
All right. Is there anything left to do on that spreadsheet, or is it in its final form?
Well, I don't think it'll ever be in its final form, to be honest. I've been updating it as things come through, but hopefully, I mean, there's a lot of room for improvement.
Okay,
but that's a good answer.
It is a good answer. Is it in a usable form right now?
Yes.
So it's good. It just needs to be refined.
Correct. So yeah, I'm every day, or I mean, I wouldn't say every day. Probably every week, I go in there and update it. I should probably put a little more effort into it and just go in there every day as opposed to every week. But since I'm getting up to speed with the team and everything, it's just taking a little bit longer. But hopefully I'm aiming for every morning coming in and updating it.
So like we have a new publication going out to our ultra high net worth people, and she's helping us cull through the list and say who's it should go to, who should it not go to. But again, it's all, for us, I know we want a system in place. Our system's always evolving, I think, for the good.
Well, I believe that. The genesis here, you have an ability to grow this thing, John. I mean, it's just you and Andrew and Will. You know how to grow this practice. But what you can't have cannot have happen is for it to grow and then start having things fall through the cracks because you're growing. That's why this structure is so important. Are we in agreement there?
100%, and that's why we did this whole thing to begin with, and that's helped us tremendously on our existing book.
Okay. All right. So I guess where I'd like to end it here as far as this Excel, it's hard for me to say Izzy. That's my granddaughter's name. I feel like I'm talking to my granddaughter. Is it where it should be right now? I mean, are you comfortable with where it is?
Yes and no. I think there's a lot of room for improvement. One of the things that I'm struggling with is that I'm going through a lot of, like, either companies or cities or different people that we want to reach out to, but I just don't want to add them to the list because the volume is so large that it's kind of hard to keep track with everyone, So I'm just creating different tabs and just adding the main prospect list, people that we're actually reaching out to, and then adding different tabs for either cities or companies that we're trying to target.
Here's the way I wish I'd asked the question. You're answering my question. The question I wanted to ask is, you're new to the team. You've got a lot going on. You're sifting through this material. Are you comfortable with where you are, given where you are in the as far as your tenure with the team?
Yes, I think so. Yeah.
Okay. John, are you comfortable with where it is?
We're doing great. And again, we will always tinker, and if it doesn't work, I'm very quick to speak that it doesn't work. But I think we're doing great. For us, growing the business is such a priority that anything we do incrementally, I think, is just going to add to the growth. Because if we just stayed in our own little bubble, I still think we could raise $100 million a year. This will hopefully, in the next, you know, the stuff we're doing today might pay off in year 3, 4, 5. So this, we're looking at later that we got to get our name. We're trying to break into other markets, which we have not done yet.
All right. All right. Izzy, are you, when Will has an appointment or John or Andrew, are they consistently giving you the information that you need to update the spreadsheet?
I've been working closer with Andrew more than anything. But, I mean, I guess Will or John could speak to this, but I think so, right? Or is there anyone? I mean, mostly I've been working with Andrew.
Yeah, but this is Will. But, yeah, just to chime in, when a new prospector and now with the contact log, the structure that Izzy has put together, John and myself and Andrew know that if this person is a viable prospect and it is necessary to keep the contact log updated on each contact point or touch point, then we definitely would talk to Izzy about that. But she's dealt more with Andrew just because Andrew is primarily doing that and has a little bit more volume, but and is pretty much the point on that. But yeah, if John has a prospect meeting that this guy is going to come to, maybe come to multiple meetings and might be a possible client, then yes, then we would definitely talk to Izzy and get that all updated and put it on the list.
So, Will, the question I've asked other people, given where we are in the process or Izzy's tenure in the team, are you comfortable with where the spreadsheet is?
Yes, 100%. And when she said that answer and John mentioned the answer that it's always going to be tinkering, I wanted to chime in and just say I think we're 90% there, but it's, as you know, everything's always going to be evolving. But, yes, the nuts and bolts are there and the foundation are there, but it's always going to be evolving and getting improving, but we're 90% there.
Okay, good. The important thing for me is there's a core, Will.
Right.
And you're always going to be refining it, but you're not going to be reinventing it. You're going to be refining a core. Does that make sense?
Exactly. And I've kind of communicated this goal, and your diagram communicates the goal perfectly, that Ashley, Izzy, and myself's goal is to get John and Andrew out of this day-to-day stuff so they can focus on the primary two goals. Is one is maintaining relationships with our existing clients, and two is spending time in front of and meeting with maybe possible prospects or clients. So I'm very happy on the progress that we've made since Ashley and we as we've added Izzy. So that's our primary goal.
Good. All right. If everybody would grab that sheet that I sent out, Will just referred to. Here's a simplistic way of this is beginning to get people into the right roles. And John, my thought process was you and Andrew want to spend 100% of your time on clients and growth. That's correct. Correct.
Yes.
And versus that, down at where Ashley and Izzy are, speaking generally, they're 100% administrative. Is that, John, are you okay with that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So, I mean, again, those are, I know there's crossovers, but that's that's what you all, where you all want to be. Now we get to the middle, where we got where I got Will, and what I have I don't want to say proposed, but just drawn, is Will has two responsibilities, general responsibilities. One is to be the COO of the team. John doesn't want to do that. John's not good at that, as it's been explained to me. Andrew doesn't want anything to do with it. That is being the quarterback of the team. It would make sense for Will to have that be his responsibility. You agree, John?
Yeah.
All right. And then the other part of Will's responsibility is to get him more involved with the clients. How do you envision that, John? What do you see Will doing in that client responsibility role to get him enmeshed with the clients?
So Andrew and I probably are the prime contacts on 81 relationships. Of that, you know, the average account size is, $5 million, whatever the number is, $5 million. Anything under those relationships, I think the bottom number is $2 million, Will has tentatively put in charge of those accounts. So some of those accounts I will get on the phone every once in a while. Some of those accounts I'm trying not to get on the phone ever. So Will has those responsibilities. On top of that, any big prospect, any big client, Will's in a lot of the meetings, so he's a soft involvement, but my goal for him is he continues on this role, runs the COO kind of day-to-day stuff, but he's going to have to go find some money when let's say he hits in 5 years. I mean, he's going to have to raise some money too. And I don't know who would fill the COO role. Will might not want to, maybe we'll have enough business that he doesn't have to raise more money, but I've gotten to the point that, and Andrew knows, I'm not going to go to a meeting unless we know it's real, and Andrew's been good about it, and our close ratios, once Andrew meets with them, I meet with them, and the whole team meet with them, we're still well above 70% closing. So Will is trying to get me less involved, and the more they can get me less involved, I think the happier everyone's going to be. I think we'll raise more. I think Andrew and I should, if I'm not, so I'm doing my Supernova calls this morning. The only reason I should be in the office is doing my client calls and prospect calls, and the rest of the day or any time, I need to go out and see people. And they've recognized that.
Which puts you right back where we started, 100% client and growth.
My main, because I've been doing it longer and I have a $2 million legacy book of revenues, I want to keep them. So if I did two, I'll probably do close to three this year. I just don't want to lose what I have, which is, for me, is the most important. That's why I got you guys involved in this, the Supernova. But I also want to grow. That's why Andrew is where he is. But I would grow on my own, just not to the extent. So my main goal is to keep what we have, because you lose $5 or $10 million account to go out and get another one's going to take 6 to 18 months.
Yeah.
That's
how you grow. You keep what you got and you go get more.
Yeah, that's how you not lose money.
You said you won't go on a meeting unless it's real, and then you said you have a certain closing percentage. Was that 70?
I think it's even higher than that. If we've had multiple meetings, it's higher than that.
Okay. Let me tell you something else. Again, my experience is, as Will gets into you said he needs to raise money on his own.
No, I think it's going to be a natural progression. If he's running in this environment at his age right now, it is not feasible. Can he kick the tires, rustle the bushes, find out what's moving on? But you can't expect someone under the age of 30 to go into any guy worth 10 or 20 million bucks and make a dent. And that's how, you know, it's not even close.
I agree 100%. Here is my experience. When Will in the money raising mode, it makes you better at everything else you do. There's just something about being in the hunt for business that sharpens all of your skills. John, is the thought process? I mean, if Will comes across a prospect, does Will go after that on his own, or does he bring you?
No, no, never. He doesn't need to do that. So we have a $25 million plus prospect that Will brought to me. I've been talking to the guy for 2 years. He just recently retired. I think I have a pretty good shot. Will made the introduction. Will knew the kids. He goes breakfast with the son every week. So, I mean, that's the kind of legwork here to do. But I've met with the guy, I think, 6 times already. I think I got a shot. I mean, I think I got a better than a 75% chance, but stuff like that. There's, you know, like I said, 10 years of runway. If I'm in front of a guy worth $20 million at age 60, I'm going to bury any kid younger than 40 years old. And the upside downness of our business is guys at 60 years old or 55 years old are not going out on meetings to raise money.
You mean FAs are not going out?
Probably. No. So if you're an FA, so that's why I've structured the team as it is I got Andrew, who's 40, that has to raise money to make a living. So he's going to do it. Will's young enough that they see the growth. So, and then Ashley and Izzy takes the stuff off my plate. I love the chase. So the more they could free me up, I mean, I told Will this, if I was by myself, I don't think I'd be raising a third of the money just because I wouldn't need it and it wouldn't excite me as much.
Interesting. Interesting. So in this thought process, Will's going to flag you in when the opportunity is there.
Will, Andrew, Izzy, okay. Ashley, anybody.
All right.
But I'm not going to go on a cold prospect for $1 million. I'm just not going to do it.
Okay. How have you thought about how you are going to work Will into the client response? How you're going to position Will with new clients?
So Will is in the pretty much every team member has exposure to any new relationships either by the phone or meetings. But I think Will is going to be a long-term process, meaning he's going to be in meetings. He's going to do the financial planning. He's going to do the 529 analysis. So at age 65 or 70 or whenever I decide to go, they're going to have 10 or 15 years of experience with Will. It'll be a natural progression. I'm not going to be the old guy that leaves and says, here's my son. I just got him out of the insurance business. He's going to do it. I mean...
Yeah, you got a great plan. All right, who should Ashley and Izzy report to? Should they report to Will? Should they report? Again, I ask the question with the backdrop, John, is I don't want you involved in anything but client retention, meeting with clients and growing it. It's a general statement, but I want you to be 100%. So do Ashley and Izzy report to Will as the COO of this operation?
I don't like the way you say that, and it's just the way I look at business. I don't think anybody, and I know what you're saying, but I just want them to hear this. We all work together. We're all partners. No one works under anybody here. I think Will facilitates communicating with me just because he has an advantage of knowing the insanity, but I think they're all working fine together. No one reports to anyone here. I'm sorry to say that, but
you said it the way I meant it.
Yeah.
A better way to look at it is it Will's responsibility to make sure that nothing's slipping through the cracks?
I think it's all three of them. I almost report to them because I'm so focus on what I'm doing. But we have our morning meeting. Ashley, Izzy come in. There's a list of pending items. But I'll yell across the desk to Will that something is not right. He goes, do you want me to handle it, or do you want me to go to Izzy or Ashley? So I think he's more of the intermediary. So if that means reporting, yes. I'll say yes.
Well, I'm not a big fan of the word reporting either, but I just want to make sure somebody is. I know what a COO is. You know what a COO is. Are you and Will comfortable with Will being the COO of the operation?
Yeah, it's probably the shittiest job in the team because he's taking it from everybody. Yes,
yeah,
I am, and I think it's a good role for him at this age.
But John, here's how we're starting: is you and John at 100%, and Ashley and Izzy at 100%. Different things. What we're talking about here is Will's role. I mean, yours is easily defined. Ashley and Izzy's is easily defined. Will's is not. I'm just trying to get a sense for.
I think the COO term is a good term for it.
Okay. All right, I'm going to stop there. I got one more question, and then I'm done unless you all have anything.
I have a 10:30 Supernova call with John Shea I got to do.
The quick question is, would it make sense to have a spreadsheet for administrative tasks like you've got a spreadsheet for your prospects?
No, I think we have a great documentation system of administrative or day-to-day tasks that Ashley and Izzy do a great job of holding all of us accountable, and that's just every morning we have a Microsoft Word document that goes out that just is called Outstanding Items. Goes out at pretty much at 8:30 every morning. We have a meeting around 8:35, 8:40, and I think that's the best system we've found is each person has bullet points under each person's name, and we go through it, cross stuff off, hold each other accountable that way. So that's the best way we've found is just a Microsoft Word document each morning that goes out.
Will, could you send me a copy of that just so I know I can picture it?
Yeah, sure. We can send you a copy. It's just we might have to mask out some information. But, yeah, basically it's just it has John, Andrew, Will, Ashley, and Izzy's name, and then it says under Will, reach out to Sally Smith. What do you think about this client list? We're going to reach out to these doctors, and just it's stuff like that. So it's a very, very basic list. And then each of us have our own system of doing it. And John, Andrew, and myself basically just have a legal pad that every morning we got outstanding stuff to do on. And so yeah, we'll send you a list of that, but it is very basic.
Yeah, but make sure you cross out all the names and such.
Perfect.
All right. Anything else?
No, I think that was a very productive call. John just hopped on his 10:30 Supernova call, so I think we are all good, and we appreciate your time, unless Ashley or Izzy have any questions or comments.
I think we're good.
Yep.
All right. Good to talk with you.
Thank you so much. You have a great rest of your week.
See you, Will.
Bye-bye.